This is McGraw Live in the Morning on the Big 550 KTRS and worldwide via KTRS.com and STLtoday.com, both of which are streaming our video, which is also available right now live on KPLR TV 11.2. McGraw is out of town for a couple of days, went to the World Series in Kansas City last night. He's a Mets fan, so he was not happy after 5 hours and 9 minutes to see the run scored in the bottom of the 14th inning to make the Royals win the game. But he's going to go back for more torture tonight for game number two, and while he's away, I get to play. I am Paul Harris. Thank you very much for listening. Today is the 50th anniversary of the Gateway Arch, and joining me in the studio now, three very special guests. Two of them are the children of Eero Saarinen, who was the Finnish gentleman who was the architect, the designer, if you will, of the Gateway Arch. They are Eric and Susan Saarinen. Thank you so much for joining me here today.
Good morning. Nice to have you here.
And also a man who was there 50 years ago today when the final piece of the arch was put in place, Sicardi Bruce. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you. Excuse me for a moment while I just talk to the Saarinens.
Absolutely.
About their father who designed this remarkable monument, the Gateway to the West, etc. Were you there 50 years ago today, the two of you?
No, I wasn't.
No.
Were you there when your dad was coming up with the concept for any of this?
Absolutely. We grew up with the arch and models and chains hanging in the basement and all kinds of things. I was two, and Eric was five when the competition started.
Okay, tell me about the chains hanging in the basement. What was that about?
Well, the arch, as you probably know, is a catenary curve, and a catenary curve is the curve that is created when a chain is hanging from two points.
Mm-hmm.
So the arch is a reverse-weighted catenary curve.
It's as if that chain is hanging off of the earth and it's hanging from the center of the earth outward towards
right.
the surface that we are living on.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell me about the competition that led up to your dad getting the right to design this thing.
Well, and I think the interesting thing about the arch and the competition was the fact that he competed against his father. This is the first time his father kind of said he had worked with his father all his life, and my dad was about 38, and finally they said, okay, here's a competition. Why don't you enter, and I'll enter, and we won't see what each other's doing.
Wow.
And so they worked. They had a wall between them, and they promised not to look at each other's work.
Uh-huh.
And my dad submitted his version,
mm-hmm.
and his father submitted his version, and they were all numbered. They didn't have names. So when they came in, the jury had all they had is names and boxes of models of their presentations.
How many were there altogether?
There are 173, something like that.
172.
Wow. And what was your grandfather's design?
It was a very tall rectilinear kind of column.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had sort of, it looked kind of Egyptian Greek,
uh-huh.
slash Greek. It had big circles around the bottom. And it was very interesting looking, but it didn't have the organic shape the arch had.
So obviously it wasn't called the Gateway Arch Competition because it wasn't going to be an arch until your dad came up with it, right?
Well, it was a symbol. That's exactly right. It was a symbol. What symbol can you make to show the joining between the East and the West?
Mm-hmm.
And since since St. Louis was kind of actually the gateway between the East and the West, that symbol, originally they were going to do it across the river. Both of them were going to do it across the river.
Mm-hmm.
Then they decided if you're coming from the east, then if you see the whole symbol
yep.
as, you know, in from the side, that symbol's the bridge. And also they figured they had plenty of bridges over the river anyway, so
right.
they didn't need another bridge.
I will tell you, as a St. Louisan, one of the sad things about it is we rarely get to see the best view of the arch. We actually get to see it a lot on Sunday night football or Monday night football or whenever there's a national game at night and we can see it lit up, and the camera is on the Illinois side shooting downtown. And it's a shame that we don't have a great park there in East St. Louis looking back, because a lot more people, I think, would go there to look at that fantastic view. There is a park there, but it doesn't have nearly the number of people visiting it that I think it could if we had that. Unfortunately, there's a grain elevator. There are railroad lines there. So all of that kind of spoiled that other view for us. But it is still a spectacular thing to see, even from the Missouri side. So my question then about your dad was, when he won this competition, how long was it from then until 50 years ago today?
Well, the final submission and winning was in 1948 and 1965.
Wow.
Yeah, long time. Well, the history is fascinating, and it has to do with land, clearing land, buying houses and buildings and things in downtown, mm-hmm. and figuring out how to move the railway line and how, you know, how that can be done. A lot of technical stuff.
A lot of the same stuff that ironically is being talked about now for the new stadium that wants to be built on the north waterfront here in St. Louis. You got to buy up things, you got to use eminent domain, etc. I looked at some of the numbers. It would cost $141 million in today's money of local dollars, plus $72 million of federal dollars to do what they did in 1965, but really starting in 1948, mm-hmm. because it took all that time to do that. What was your dad doing in the meantime? Because he had already given them the design, and all that time had to go by. Was he on other projects?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was working. He was on five other projects, but he was also, they had just won GM. And GM, General Motors Tech Center, was 26 buildings. That was the biggest,
Campus.
Project ever.
Was that in Detroit?
Yeah.
Warren, Michigan.
Warren,
okay.
Yeah. And the TWA building at Idlewild, now Kennedy,
yep.
owned by JetBlue, Dulles Airport, the John Deere building in Moline, Illinois.
These are all things that he designed and were...
After the Arch competition was won.
But before the Arch was actually built.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, now let's move forward to that day, Sicardi, because here's where you come into the story. What were you doing on the ladder that day?
Well, I guess just lucky, I guess. I had been out of college 1 year and taken over a small printing company, and we printed the signatorial documents that went into the time capsule of the Arch. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I was invited up on the Arch that day by the mayor, Cervantes, and was there to see the keystone be put in place after they turned the fire hoses on the one leg to spread it enough to get it wide enough to drop the keystone in.
Which is a great part of the Arch story, because all that metal on a warm summer day in St. Louis, even though we're talking about it being October, it was a warm day, and the
Absolutely.
Days before that were very warm. And they literally had to cool down the arch in order to get that last triangular piece in the top.
They thought they might have to. As a matter of fact, they were pretty sure they were going to have to, because they had the fire hose up on the crane with us, so they were ready to go.
Yeah. Do you remember that day as if it were yesterday?
Oh, my goodness, yes. There's very few things that stand out in my mind as much. I think... having a very bad tooth pulled would be something similar to the remembrance. But
now you make it sound like a negative event.
No, it's just you don't forget some of those things. But this was the biggest thing, I think, especially a young man coming out of college and being able to be part of such a historical event was such a tremendous, humbling experience mm-hmm. for me. It was just wonderful to
Were
be
the
there.
Arch grounds developed then?
Not at all.
So what was there?
Just bare ground. They had raised the buildings. They had contracted and had the buildings torn down that went in there. Mm-hmm. My printing plant was one of the things to go, because we were down on 3rd Street and part of the Poplar Street exit ramp. So I had to move the printing plant out to West St. Louis in order to accommodate that. But it was a very big project, and I don't know if you read the newspaper the other day, but quite a controversial vote in the city that actually allowed it to happen. And there was a lot of questioning by the Post-Dispatch, critique done of it at the time.
You know, now, because we look back on it 50 years later, it seems like, well, of course we would want to put that up. But as I just mentioned, all the money that was involved, of course, we're talking about 1960s dollars, not 2015 dollars, but it still was a huge project, and they still had to do a lot of fundraising for it, didn't they?
Oh, and it very much so, but it was also extremely disruptive to the city during the time that it was happening, but more than worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there a big crowd?
Oh, huge, huge. I don't know how many were estimated to be there. But
when you're on the ladder, you looked around and there were just people everywhere?
Yes, and it wasn't the ladder. It was a crawler crane that went up the side of the arch, and then we were on a platform up on top.
Okay, now speaking of the going up the arch part, one of my pet peeves as a St. Louisan is the little pod that takes you to the top, and I call it that. It's called really a tram. Did your dad have anything to do with that development about how to get people to the top?
Yeah.
Was your dad a small man?
No.
Oh, I asked because I'm 6'4", and I'm a big guy, and I get a little claustrophobic when I get inside there. But I guess that was maybe the only way to do it with the amount of space he had to work with, right?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I think the main problem was not the size at the bottom. The main problem was the size at the top. Mm-hmm. So they had to be small enough to fit the top. At the very top, it's only 17 feet on either side of each one of those legs.
Yeah.
So either edge of the leg. So it had to fit in that. Plus, there had to be two stairways down. So how do you get something small enough? It has to be small enough. And it really, you know, and then the question was that it had to also be level, and it's going like, you know, not in an ordinary curve.
Right, yeah.
So they did a carousel-type elevator. They got a hold of a guy who made elevators.
Freight elevators.
They were freight elevators, and they'd go up, and then they'd move over to a certain place. And they got that guy, and he was a specialist, and then they kind of ended up with this cross between that and a bicycle chain. If you know what I mean.
Yes, that's what I've heard. It's almost linked together like a bicycle chain,
right.
The thing that pulls up these trams, these pods,
right.
As I call them, up each leg to get to the top.
But he wasn't, that was kind of a, the nice thing is that none of this showed from the outside. And that he was much more concerned about the arch being a pure shape on the outside.
Absolutely.
We know what it's like on the inside. It's kind of... Well, I mean, like any big building, any massive building or any massive building that lasted over time, if you go inside a clock tower or something like that, it's usually just hewn timber and things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas on the outside, it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the arch.
How involved was your father in the actual building of the arch? Because it's one thing to be the architect who designs it and puts it down on paper as blueprints. It's another thing to be there and maybe oversee the construction. Was he involved in that at all?
Well, he passed away before the construction began, but he had 13 years to develop all of the details of how it was going to be built and what materials were going to be used, and problem-solving all the way up until September 1st, 61.
So in his original design, the one that was accepted, it was the triangular pieces making up the arch all the way to the top?
Well, that's an interesting question. His first design did not include the triangular pieces. And there was a very famous sculptor who I think he did a lot of work in St. Louis. His name was Carl Millis.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one, my father brought, they were always critiquing each other. And he brought the design home and he showed it. And at this point it was a four-sided shape, the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl Millis suggested that he make it triangular because, A, it's going to be much more interesting with the light, and B, it's going to be cheaper, and C, it's going to be easier.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up being triangular. The only thing is, and this is a little, not a lot of people know this, but my dad, that was too big of a thing for my dad to really acknowledge. So he never really thanked him.
Never gave him credit?
Never gave him credit, and Carl Millis never talked to him again. And it's one of those things where he just couldn't swallow it, you know.
Is there anything in the official history of the arts that gives Millis credit for that?
There are books written. Jim Merkel's new book about the arch talks about that.
Wow.
It's a true story, but, you know, I mean, really... nobody can say that he didn't also think of the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that Millis never talked to him again.
Yeah, it's an important part of the story.
Yeah.
I'm glad you told it here. So, Cardi, tell me about that day. I asked you about looking down and seeing the crowd. Tell me about looking up and seeing the men on top of the arch. And it was exclusively men in 1965. There were no women on the arch that day as workers, right?
That is correct. Now, we really weren't looking up. We were on the top.
Oh.
We were right on the top of the arch.
Okay.
So there was nothing above us.
Okay.
Other than sky.
Okay.
And I tried not to look down too often. So it was a little spooky in that regard, but it was a fairly decent-sized platform, so it wasn't too bad. But it was it was interesting up there. The arch is built to take quite a bit of sway. I'm not exactly sure of the numbers, but I think a plus or minus 6 or 8 feet, it's designed to take that kind of a sway. And it was swaying a little bit that day. It was a little bit of a wind that day.
Yeah. And as you were watching them, had you seen, because you were downtown and you'd had to move your building there, had you been on what came to be the arch grounds and seen the construction as it went along?
Oh, every day. I mean, I wasn't on the grounds, but I was right out my window.
And many St. Louisans were coming by and seeing it as well. How long did that whole process take from the moment they broke ground to the time that the 50 years ago today, that anniversary, do you know?
Somewhere between 7 and 8 years from the very beginning to full opening and full participation.
Wow.
I'd like to make a comment about size estimate as to how far the sway goes. It was designed to sway 9 inches to each side, or a total of 18. I wouldn't want somebody to think that it was 6 or 8 feet.
Inches instead of feet.
Yes.
I'm glad you cleared that up, Susan.
Easy mistake. By the way, can you tell who's related to an architect here and who isn't?
Absolutely.
gotta be exact about that sort of stuff.
There's one at that point when they were before it was connected. That was the most
vulnerable.
It was in the most vulnerable situation where there were high winds, and it, because it wasn't connected. The whole idea is, you know, that corner piece is like any Greek or Roman arch, where if you don't have the corner piece, it's not really. Mm-hmm. It's just barely.
It's that keystone that is actually holding it together.
Right. So before that's joined, that's the most vulnerable time with the weight of both cranes on either side, and then the weight of both cranes also tended to bring it in. So they had to push it out at the end and all that. So and also shrink it from the sway from the sun and things like that.
Okay. So neither of you were here on the day of the official opening. That moment that last piece was put into the arch. Have you been there since?
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
And been to the top?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And do you stand there and go, "My dad designed this"?
No.
No, no, but I say it to myself.
Yeah.
And this morning I got to go up through the hatch and actually look at the skin of the top of the arch.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I thought to myself was, this is the closest I've been to Dad since in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, 637 feet and up through that hatch. Many people may not know that there is a hatch up there. And the reason for it is
maintenance,
and so they can get out there and replace the light bulbs.
Light bulb.
On the red flashing lights that have to be there to tell airplanes, there's a big arch here.
Yeah, don't hit me.
Yeah. So today there are going to be a couple of celebrations of this on the arch grounds, including one that I understand you're all invited to. Is that right?
Absolutely. Now, are you talking about today's events? I know you all are going to be down there with the mayor at 10 o'clock, I believe.
Eric's going to be there, and I'm going to be at the museum giving a little talk with the historians and so on at the museum. And then we'll both be at the gala this evening.
Yeah, that's the 50th anniversary Golden Gala being put on by the St. Louis Ambassadors and the 1904 World's Fair Charitable Foundation. Tickets are $45 for that and up if you'd like to go. There may still be a few seats available, but it should be a spectacular event to really honor the people, not just your dad, but the people who actually built the arch, which... became the arch. Up until then, it was just a couple of pieces of metal waiting to be put together. But 50 years ago today, I think it was 11 o'clock in the morning. Is that right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, 11 o'clock in the morning that they put that final piece in. And so today is the golden anniversary, which is why the arch was bathed in gold light this morning until dawn and will be again tonight after dusk. It has been a pleasure to meet you, Eric and Susan Saarinen and Sicardi Bruce. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.